back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, just announced, Iran has built underground missile launchers. Underground missile launching sites along the Gulf Coast. They call it Missile City. Missile City. This was announced, and this is the guy's actual name, General Hossein Salami, S-A-L-A-M-I. That's his name, Salami. General Hossein Salami announces this. Well, Salami baloney. Yes, they have missile launchers, and we know it. The minute they launch, the whole country is toast. They're being under observation, obviously, all the time by our satellites, by our intelligence. You know, one of the things Iran, I've spoken to people, including a medical doctor who had relationships with Iran back in the 1950s and 60s. They're terrific people, very talented people. They're a little obsessed, however, with what they view as racial superiority. And this is an odd thing to say, and I'm going to put it in context. They believe they are Aryans, and that's why they name their country Iran. They're really Persians, but Iran is Aryan. The Aryans, historically, were not Germanic peoples. They were Indo-Iranian people. And they look on this as some kind of a pure race. Iraq, right next door, they've had wars with them, largely religious and largely racial. The Iraqis are Arabs. Iran is somehow proud of not being Arab. They're obsessed with this. I don't know why they're obsessed with this. The Arabs are good people, and they very talented people, too. But, you know, in history, in the history of the 20th century, there were two other doctrines that looked on themselves as racially superior. One were the Nazis, and the other were the Japanese, the samurai tradition. And they went through Asia and just terribly mistreated, tortured people in China and everywhere else. Nazis did the same. And the only way those ideologies were stopped was sadly in a catastrophic war with catastrophic consequences for the Nazis and the Japanese. Defeat in the Second World War, in the case of Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that totally changed this samurai racial superiority culture, and it totally changed the Nazi racial superiority culture. Well, Iran hasn't had that yet, and I don't want it to have to be resolved the way it was in the 20th century. There's some of that in China. The Han Chinese view themselves very much the way the Iranians do, the Japanese and the Germans did, in terms of racial superiority. And, you know, you think of China, there's 1.5 billion people. They're not all Han Chinese. And the Han Chinese basically look down on other, including Asians. Everybody says, oh, Asians. Well, Asians are not monolithic. You know, Indian Asians, Chinese agents, Han Chinese agents, Japanese, South Korean, they all have different ethnic identities. But to get back to Iran, it's very dangerous for one that has these racial dreams to be building underground missile launchers, calling it Missile City with pride. You know, look, they're talented people. Why not become known for great literature, great philosophy, great mathematics, great physics, great music? Why not be known for real accomplishment? This business about the only way you can get attention, get recognition for your superiority is to kill people is flat out plain wrong. Flat out plain wrong. But there you have it. Keep an eye on this issue, because if somebody makes a mistake and launches a missile from an underground missile city, and hits an American ship in the Gulf, Israel, Italy, American ship in the Mediterranean, anywhere in Europe, there's going to be an immediate and catastrophic response. That can't occur. Fortunately, Joe Biden has let them know we'll go back to the negotiating table. but it's negotiation really in name only, because there is no way that we are going to agree to stand by while they put nuclear weapons on missiles and are able to launch them from Missile City. So that's the subtext, that's the background of that issue, and we're going to see how that plays out. I want to go to California for two races. Fascinating. One of them is, you know, Dianne Feinstein. Some people look on her as a little shaky, perhaps starting to lose her marbles. She just got reelected in a second term. She will serve till January of 2025, when she'll be 95 years old. 95 years old. Right now, she's about 89 years old. She's the one during Amy Coney Barrett's nomination where she went up and hugged Wormwood. Crooked little Lindsey Graham hugged him, said it was a great confirmation. You know, the entire Democratic Party is going, what, you know, she was the minority ranking member. Now she'd be the chair. A lot of people said, look, you know, she's a great person. She was a fine senator. Enough's enough. She's a little shaky. Get her out of there. Well, Schumer met with her privately. And as a result, she announced she was going off the Judiciary Committee. There was no way that progressives or even mainstream Democrats are going to consent to Dianne Feinstein being the chairman of the Judiciary Committee right now, trying to deal with the Republicans and Joe Biden's judicial nominations. No way. So she was frankly in private told, you're getting off. I don't want to have to pull you off. Volunteer. She volunteered. Dick Durbin is now the chairman, and he can take care of business. But this sparked a lot of discussion in California. Like, you know, the California Senate seat is a big deal. Any Senate seat is a big deal. So if she were to resign, knowing that she can't do her job, who would Gavin Newsom nominate? And there's a lot of pressure to nominate an African-American woman. And he was talking about Representative Lee, Representative Bass, and there are a lot of others. Well, Dianne Feinstein came out with a statement yesterday, and it's sort of like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. You're getting the bum's rush. She says, I'm serving my full term. All the speculation about appointing somebody to replace me is premature. I'm serving my full term. So we'll see. I mean, she's not going to be impeached. But when you have somebody like that, it's like Chuck Grassley in Iowa. There was a voter poll. He'll also be 95 at the end of his next term. 55% don't want him. 28% say yes, he should continue. 17% are undecided. So with him, it's 55%. I've not seen a poll with Dianne Feinstein, but Chuck Grassley has been chewing his cud in the corner of the pasture for a long time. He's not all there. He should get out of the Senate. You know, he just takes doctrinaire Republican points of view. There's no nuance whatsoever. You can't deal with the guy. But because he's a fixture, he's in there. Dianne Feinstein's very similar. She hasn't hurt the country the way Chuck Grassley has. But the fact is, the way she conducted herself in the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation hearing, hugging Wormwood, Lindsey Graham, and saying it's a great confirmation, nothing great about it. What, you know, I mean, what's all this about? Why do you even have to say something like that? Why do you hug people? Who hugs people, you know? I mean, Dick Durbin, you know, Adam Schiff doesn't go up and hug a guy. You know, I mean, come on. This is the Senate. This is the Senate. There is absolutely no bipartisanship. Lindsey Graham is not going to be hugging anybody, or if he does, he's going to do it fraudulently. He doesn't care. Moscow Mitch isn't hugging anybody. You can't deal with these people by hugging them. You don't hug Putin. You don't hug Kim Jong-un. You don't hug jihadists. Not comparing the Republicans to that, but what I am saying is that you don't hug people who under no circumstances will compromise at all with you or deal with you and do everything they can to subvert the process for their own ends, which are really their donors' ends. So keep an eye on Dianne Feinstein's seat. I don't know if Gavin Newsom is going to get an appointment or not. I don't really like the idea of limiting appointments to ethnicities and races and genders. I think this whole business of somehow we need an America, we need an administration that looks like America is wrong. I think it should be everybody in America, no matter what their background, is qualified for appointment to this administration. And then you pick the best. And then you pick the best. Period. End of story. Multiculturalism is great with food and music. I like all food. I like all music. It's not good in constitutions, laws, anything else, or political cultures. The political culture outside of Western civilization is based on fraud and violence. And you're going to deal with it when you come here. You're going to assimilate. And your multiculturalism will be limited to your food and your music or your art in general, which benefits us all. Okay, another dispute bubbling up in California, Attorney General. Keep an eye on this. Xavier Becerra is the Attorney General. He has been nominated to Biden's cabinet for Health and Human Services. The Republicans are trying to knife him. It's not going to do him any good. Schumer has 50 votes. Kamala Harris breaks it. They just, for instance, confirmed Deb Haaland and some of these others. They do it without any Republican votes. The Republicans are obstructionists. Becerra will get through, and then the question is, who do they appoint? Who does Gavin Newsom appoint as the new Attorney General to serve out his last year of his term? Most people, including me, want Adam Schiff, a great prosecutor. And there's a lot of skullduggery going on out there trying to knife Adam Schiff, and it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. I want Adam Schiff. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.